RTI.
Welcome back to Postcard from Pop Rap Part 2, boys and girls. With me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains. Lee Banks over there in the UK. And Lee, slowly this time.
Hello.
Slowly this time. Can we just give the full details of where the event is going to be on Sunday?
Slowly? Were you saying I was speaking quickly?
Yes.
Right, I'm going to do it slowly. It's at the Plough Inn in Woods Eaves. It's dead easy to find. Woods Eaves is only a small place.
Where's it near to?
Woods Eaves. It's near to Newport in Shropshire and Eccleshall. It's about 6 miles from Stafford.
Okay, well, that gives people a clue.
Yeah, you find it dead easy.
Okay.
It starts at 1 o'clock. There's going to be loads of people there, some celebrities, hopefully. And, there's definitely going to be some celebrities there. And, we'll just get on with it. Just do it.
I expect a report on this next week, you know.
You'll be getting a report on this, dear.
Right, let's try and squeeze some news into this news break.
Can I just do a bit of news?
Yeah,
a bit of old news first. I found a letter off Bill Cash MP, who is a member of the European Foundation, which is a think tank on Europe.
Okay.
His letter to me, I'll tell you very briefly what it was. I wrote to him over the problems Woods Eaves, where this charity event is taking place, has with heavy vehicles, right? Coming through the village, and they cause a lot of trouble for us. Now, I received this letter off Mr. Cash, and I'm very grateful for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Dear Mr. Banks, thank you very much for your letter, which I found most helpful and constructive. I myself am looking into the points that you raise and will come back to you as soon as I'm in a position to do so. Yours sincerely, Bill Cash MP."
Right, just a second, Lee. Can I just apologise to everybody? Somebody who will remain nameless dropped something on the studio desk. Thank you very much. That was a noise. Carry on, Lee.
I heard that, actually. I just acted professionally and ignored it. Right, here we have, I have to say, that letter that I've just read out to you now from Bill Cash MP is actually dated 31st of August, 1988. That's 22 years ago. I just wanted to ask Bill a very simple, straightforward question. Have you had enough time to sort things out? And are you about to get back to me 22 years later?
He might email you. talking of which, before we get on to a bunch of news, we've had the stats in this week from... and this is, I guess... going to be stereotypical around the world to some degree, depending on where you are. There's an organisation which is the regulator in the UK called Ofcom, and they do sort of an annual research about people and communications and what's going on. And the sort of biggest facts that came out of the 2010 report were, according to Ofcom, this is all relevant to the UK, 89% have or use a mobile phone. In Lee's case, that's zillions of mobile phones, none of which that work. 92% of UK homes have digital television. Have you got digital television, Lee?
I don't know. Yes, I have. And I tell you what, this again is something that's just absolutely appalling. Digital television is rubbish, man. Not only is the content rubbish, well, it's just because it's bad, it's poor, it stumbles, it sticks, it stalls, it does everything. And you know, one thing, going back to what Jenna was saying about newspapers, right, the best way to find out what's on telly is to buy a television magazine or buy a newspaper, because the scheduling thing that they use on digital TV is just appalling. It says no information constantly, and then it forgets to tell you's in the film or when the
hang
film
on, hang
played
on. It's Consumer Corner now, boys and girls, for a second. Lee, when you had your new television put in, did you have a new aerial put up?
Actually, I did, because my old aerial, it's a long story, but fell down my chimney.
Right, and did you have new cable all the way from your new aerial to your new telly? No.
I'm just having a look. Yes, I did.
You're joking me. Well, then you shouldn't have a problem where you live.
I might have. I'll go and have a look. I'll go on the roof and have a look. You do the next bit, I'll go and have a look.
Because that, when you, wherever you are in the world, when you go digital, one of the absolute paramount things is to get the right aerial for digital, which is so easy to do. And then people don't put new cable on it and have cable that's like 30 years old. On the analog telly, it was all ghosty and horrible. And wonder why digital telly don't work. It's ridiculous. Anyway, 92% of the UK homes have digital television. 14% live in a mobile-only household, meaning they do not have a fixed telephone. That figures.
Yeah.
Because there's not many. Well, because in Slovakia, you see, there's very few fixed landlines in houses. It's more common to have a mobile. Okay. A record, get this, 104 billion texts were sent in 2009. That works out at 1,700 texts for every person in the UK. Blimey.
I know.
That's horrendous. Time spent on...
The problem is, though,
go on.
All this makes us totally impersonal.
Well, I'll give you the other argument, is that with the communication via social networks as a generic thing, plus texting, they're so much more efficient, which means you can stay in contact with more people than you could when you were either writing letters or using a telephone.
Yeah, but you're not meeting them face-to-face. This Facebook thing is wrong, really, because you don't meet anybody face-to-face. I actually
Who would want to meet him face-to-face?
Well, no, I'll tell you, listen, listen to me, right? I got a message off Fraser Thompson, who's an old mate of mine, who is now running a PR company in Solihull, near Birmingham.
Right.
And out of the blue, this morning, I got a message off him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, you know, you get loads of messages off old colleagues and things like that, people you've not seen for a decade, and you just reply to them, say, yeah, doing well, mate, oh, thank you, yeah, having a jambutty for breakfast, and oh, I love this coffee, this,
yeah,
whatever, good experience, you stupid things like that. But Fraser actually said in his note, it'd be really nice to meet up and go for a beer, and I thought, well, yeah, isn't that strange?
Yeah.
That actually somebody's got the foresight to think, well, we don't have to just communicate like...
No, I agree. You don't have to communicate just on electronic stuff. But it does give you an opportunity to stay in touch with more people than you would have done in the past.
Yeah, but it does. It does. But is that a quality of life? Does that give you a better quality of life?
Or well, it says, I still care about you a little bit. When you send me a message, you SMS me, Mr. Banks, and go, I still love you, Eric. I'm very happy with that.
That's only because we've had a tiff.
Anyway, 1,700 texts for every person in the UK sent during 2009. Time spent on fixed internet has increased by over two-thirds. 66% since 2008. Adults now spend, on average, as small as that, this surprises me, spend 14.2 hours per month on the web.
Oh, money, 14?
Yeah. I don't see...
On an average?
Yeah, I don't... Average, yeah, but if people...
That means some people are spending 2 hours a month, though, isn't it?
Hmm.
Which is reasonable. Which is controlled.
Is it?
Well, 14... Well, 14, that's 2 hours a day.
Well, the other thing I was sort of adding all this up, which I'll come to in a minute. It says 15% of UK adults have mobile broadband. Yeah, I can understand that. Take-up of mobile broadband has increased by 8% amongst the 15 to 24s and by 3% from the 35 to 54-year-olds. Data volume over mobile networks has increased by 240%. Blimey. And a record number of people listen to the radio. 45 million adults listened on a weekly basis by the first quarter of 2010, which all makes sense.
Our listenership now.
It's because you see people trust radio, not newspapers. And
have a go at me day today, isn't it? It's a good job I'm feeling sanguine.
That's posh. But what struck me was the way, if you add all this up together, that they were saying on some of the TV reports about it, that like if you add up all of your gadgets and gizmos, your internet, your time on Facebook, etc., 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 that you spend on average something between 12 and 14 hours a day connected or communicating in some way using modern technology. And I thought to myself...
I have a point. Sorry, carry on, make your point, sorry.
Well, I thought to myself, what sort of modern technology do I get up? Right, so normally... Believe it or not, I'm in the office by about 8, so for the hour before I leave home, it tends to be digital television. And that's it. This is a weekday, typical day for me. I then get into the office, and I'm either using a mobile phone, Skype, computer, internet, or some other digital communication tools up until about 7 at night. So that's 12 hours, isn't it? Then when I get home, because my telly's got an internet connection built into the back of it, I'm either on my mobile, Skyping, or Facebooking. So that then I'll have a little bit of television, which is normally digital, and that'll take me round to about 11, by which time I normally go to bed-ish. Well, if Lee's here, it's later than that. But that's normally because I have to carry him home. So I guess...
And we don't go to bed together.
No, we don't. So how many hours is that then? Because I start about 7 in the morning... using modern technology and digital communications, and finish at 11 at night. How many hours a day is that?
Loads. About 14.
All right, so it's not too bad then. I'm not losing too much. I'm ahead.
I probably do more than you, you know.
Why?
Because if you think, what I do, I switch my... Well, I usually sort of rise without shining round about 10-ish, half 10 in the morning.
Right.
Well, the first thing I do is switch my computer on, which automatically connects it to that internet thing, right? And I usually switch my computer off when I go to bed about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So it's been connected for all that time.
Are you actually there with it, or is it just on?
No, it's just on.
And I reckon that's where... No, you see, you're not really using it. What I'm saying is... No, well, you don't, because how many minutes are you at the keyboard a day?
Probably... couple of hours, I suppose.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I'm writing my novel at the moment.
Good. So lots of people have the devices on, maybe, but they don't actually find themselves attached. I mean, I have to have a surgical operation.
What I'm saying about these figures.
Why?
It's just switched on. You mean people are using it? It's just switched on.
Oh, well, of course, it doesn't say that, does it? And it could be that they just switched on, but I'm saying that I can't see how I would communicate with the volume of people I communicate with on a daily basis without the level of technology I've got surrounding me. I mean, it's like,
but that's business. I don't do business. I just do.
Well, I know you're retired.
I just do this elegant writing. I'm just a failed writer in my garage.
Well, it's like in my house, and I'm sure it's not the same everywhere in the world, but I've been blackened, I think, with radio listening for years, and in my old place in London was the same. I couldn't get FM radio properly where I lived in London. Again, in Poprad, I can't get FM radio at all, so we listen using an internet radio. Not a computer, just it's a wonderful tool by Technisa. Shame they're not doing more of them. But it's a lovely little, it looks very sort of modern, sits beautiful in the kitchen, works by remote control, da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di. And so my radio listening is via an internet connection. My television is often via an internet connection. And so my world sort of circles around this whole internet thing. I'm just wondering, my point is all this, how are you connected, boys and girls? Are you one of these people that's there with it all the time? Or do you, like Lee, have it on but don't actually get to use it that much? It's a good question, that. Think about it, Lee.
It is a good question. I think Ofcom, I've got the figures wrong. I don't think they're right. I think you'd find a lot of people just leave it on.
No, I think people have... I mean, I've done some tests once or twice with, for example, putting a message up on an internet service and then keeping the reaction going for an hour just to see what happens. And people do. You'll put a message up questioning something, and then seconds later, it's bing, there's another one. I'm not talking about Facebook. I'm talking about other sites where you can ask questions. And there's so many millions of people who are genuinely attached to the internet, probably by wireless communication. But they are actually there and using it, not just having it turned on. It's not like the television or the radio of years ago, which was just on as wallpaper music or wallpaper to communicate information or entertainment.
No, it is interactive. It is interactive, and that's the thing. You can actually do something on it. But my problem with it is very simple. And that is that, you know, like Britain, right? Britain has said that, so the British public have said they don't want ID cards, generally.
Yeah.
People don't want ID cards. I don't want ID cards. I think it's wrong. I think we need to protect our privacy.
Why?
And yet,
I've got an ID. I've got an ID card. It doesn't hurt me.
Because my privacy is my own. It doesn't mean that I'm doing anything erstwhile wrong terrible.
I would have said the same thing a few years ago, but I have to have an ID card in Slovakia, and I have a slave. But it doesn't weigh any more in my wallet. It doesn't.
No, but in Britain we have a sense of privacy, and privacy is a God-given right, as far as I'm concerned. And the problem, but the, what annoys me is that this great unwashed British public who said no to identity cards, as did I, put all their secrets and their private information on the internet for everybody in the world to see.
I do understand what you're saying, but honestly, I have no problem with the ID. In fact, the ID card is helpful, not a hindrance to me.
No, I say I personally don't like ID cards because I just find it's an infringement of my rights, and that's the way I see it. I don't actually have a great opinion about it. You know, it's something that you put in there. But it's when you get stopped on the street, it's like stop and search. People see that as wrong. Mm. And identity cards fall into that same bracket. It's something the police demand that you show them. And if you haven't got it with you, you're in trouble.
Well, I can't remember what it is exactly. Somebody will remind me in Slovakia. But you're only allowed to go something like 30 or 50 metres from your house in Slovakia without your ID card. That's the law.
That is disgusting. And that is, it might be the law, that is disgusting.
But it doesn't bother me.
That is absolutely shameful.
And it's like, you have to carry your driving licence here and your documents for your car.
Well, that's right. Why?
What's
wrong? That is just an infringement of your personal liberty.
It's not. Because
of course it is.
The fact is this, that
we are a free world, supposedly. You should be able to walk out of your front door without carrying an identity card. Why can't you walk down the street anonymously?
Because listen, calm down. The fact is, if I've spent a lot of money buying a car, I want it looked after. Therefore, if somebody had stolen it, which doesn't, in fact, this is so prevalent because
they ain't going to arrest them because they got an identity card.
No, but they, because of the way the law is here, if you haven't got the papers for the car, you're nicked.
Yeah.
Right? You are
right.
Nicked.
Yeah.
So you're. It's so funny when cars get stolen, it actually makes the news. It makes the news because there is no. It's so difficult to steal a car because, you know, you are driving. Obviously, you got a nicked car, but you're driving without papers, which is a double trouble. Because if you get caught, the police are going to question what you're doing in the car with no papers anyway.
That's what I'm saying,
and
Eric.
That's so good. That's good.
It isn't good because it's making a lump of metal more important than personal liberty.
Well, it is. I don't. If I've spent 12,000 euros on a car, typically, I want to make sure that, and I'm really happy that no one's going to nick it from my garage and be able to drive off down the road with it like they would be in the UK. Because all that'll happen in the UK is you'll go, oh, can you produce your documents in 7 days, sir? Yes, right, okay, off you go then, bye. And my car's gone.
Yeah, right. So we spent £12,000 on a car. Look at it this way, right? Say, as a figure, you spend £10,000 a year, right, on looking after yourself, right, food, beer, right, all the important bags, like all the good healthy things that you're involved in, right?
Yeah,
just say you spend £10,000 a year. You are, let's say, right, now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a complete lie, that you're 50, right? That's £500,000 you've spent on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is far more investment than the 12 grand you've spent on a car. And yet you're willing to throw away £500,000 of investment because you stepped outside your door without your identity card.
That's got to be the most erroneous argument I've ever heard in my life.
Pretty good, really.
Hey, let's get on to something sensible. Let's get to a programme.
Yeah. Switch this thing on, yeah?
Let's get on to something which is earth-shattering, demands our attention, and if anybody does not like this topic, I would go to the vets and ask them for a big syringe full. Because There is only one programme on this planet that deserves any praise whatsoever other than Postcard from Pop Red, and that happens to be the one and only, the superb, the I Can't Wait Till October return thereof, Top Gear, which we love.
That's right. And if I may introduce this thing... Are you still there? Have I gone?
No, you're here. Where are you?
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I just went silent on myself. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's put it this way. Some say he's written a book. And some say he shouldn't be allowed to write a book. I say it's a publicity stunt.
I think you're right, actually. This is all to do with the Stiggy, the main man from Top Gear. You see, now I have a problem with Stig. I do have a problem with the Stiggy because there's an American. Well, there's an American Top Gear now, which is new. There's an Australian Top Gear, and then there's the proper Top Gear with Jeremy Clarkson.
Now, they've all got sticks.
How does the Stiggy get around the world to do all these shows?
Because he's he's famous, isn't he?
Well, so that means he can time travel, does it?
The Stig can do anything. That's general. You've seen him driving those cars, but off like that. Dead easy, a little bit of a ramp, shoot, straight over, land in America.
Yes. But apparently BBC lawyers claim he's subject to a confidentiality agreement and unmasking him would spoil the viewers. Of course, it's all part of the persona of the programme. It's a laddish programme, it's big boys' toys, it's petrol heads, and it's Stiggy! Of course.
We love you, Stiggy! But we think this is a publicity stunt.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody really cares.
Excuse me, we do care.
We don't care.
We do.
We don't care.
We do.
I think he should be allowed to write his book.
I'd
buy it and I'd read it. But I don't care, it's a publicity stunt. You know what I call his book?
What?
Because he's been, like, pilloried for wanting to write a book and reveal his identity. He's basically been told, you write this book and we will get rid of you. You will lose your job. That's a stigmata.
Oh, gee, where have you gotten from this week? Where have you been? You've been in a newspaper building, haven't you?
No, I've just been reading about the Bible being put on Twitter.
Oh, my word. Anyway, we like the Stig as he is. That's fine.
Yeah, we do.
But it would be nice one day to know who he is. I have to say, I would stick my...
You know what? We do know who the Stig is. Because the real Stig, didn't he? When his identity was revealed, the real Stig, and I can't remember his name, when he was revealed a couple of years ago,
that was Michael,
got rid of him.
That was Michael Schumacher, and that wasn't real.
No, it wasn't. There's a real Stig. The real Stig was by unmasked. He was. And this Stig, who's trying to write a book, is an interplopper.
Ah, right. Well, actually, I had a challenge this week. If I could pass my bike test, someone was going to buy me a motorbike.
Aye.
Aye. Because I like petrol heads. And I like cars that go down the road. And I like motorbikes that go...
Have you ever kissed a petrol head?
Yes. Yucky. But such is life. Now, keep the stickers away, and we don't care if it's a publicity stunt, because Top Gear is
all right.
The best programme on the planet, and anything to do with... Well, yes, of course. Yes, that's taken us...
Why were you not on telly?
Because we're on radio, and we've got great faces for radio, not television.
That's right, of course. That's why we're radio people.
Do you know, don't forget, boys and girls, you've got to tell us about your internet habits. Well, you know, keep it clean. And the other thing I'd like to ask is, would you like us one day to actually do a programmette? Because I can do that. I have the technology.
Not like a caravanette.
Where it's... Radio on television.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Internet telly with us in the studios, because we have the technology to do it. It's just going to be a case of trying to figure out how to explain to Lee how to put the technology on. Now, that could be a bit of a problem. But other than that, would you like us to do a sort of a live on telly postcard from Pop Rock? We could probably tie in with the schedules of other stations as well. So we could do it live. Would you like a live on telly type program one week? Just for the fun of it. Not often, because this is going to be very traumatic for lots of people to see Lee's face. and I want to know how he's going to airbrush the wrinkles out before we start.
I don't have wrinkles.
Right.
You don't have wrinkles either, really, do you?
Well, I don't have wrinkles, no.
Because you're so fat, and they've all gone.
And Lee's got one of those mirrors that came from a fairground, which tells lies. But it might be interesting one week. Let's squeeze in a couple more stories before we get to the end of the programme, as we're running very shortly. Lee's really sort of got a thing about Facebook at the minute. What's the dire warning, then?
I've just done that.
Have you?
We've just done that one.
We haven't.
We are. That's where Facebook is, because it's the head of Microsoft, wasn't he? Who was saying that, gave a dire warning that the Facebook generation are going to have to change their name. So we have done it, really. Well, I just didn't think we were going to do it as a separate story as well.
Or even, say that again, as a separate story. I like that.
A separate story. Yeah, what's wrong with a separate story? Have you never read a separate story?
Oh, the world did so well this week.
No, Facebook, right, you're giving it, this is what we were saying before, you're giving so much personal information out on Facebook and similar sites, right? Hmm. And you're doing it from such a young age that really you're hanging your dirty washing out in public, and it is there forever.
Let's quickly analyse this, shall we? So when you go on Facebook, you can put you have a choice of whether you leave your email open to your friends or not, your telephone number free to your friends or not, which is personal information. I agree.
You know where you're going with this? You're going to shoot yourself in the foot.
No, I'm not. Because the fact is that getting hold of a telephone number in today's modern world is too easy. Very, very easy. If I wanted to get an ex-directory number from somewhere, I can assure you it can be done, if somebody really wanted to.
You've always been able to do that. I've always been. Do you know, honestly, this is really bad. You used to be able to phone up BT and tell them that you were a journalist, and they would give you ex-directory numbers. I'm sorry about that, BT, but you don't do it now, but you used to do it 20 years ago.
Hang on. That was 20 years before, well, 15 years before, well, 17 years before Facebook. You were able to do something that's now being exposed as a Facebook bad thing.
That's not the point. That was just a little bit of extra information. I'm going to shoot you in the foot.
Then you got the email, which is just too easy to get hold of. Then what else is there? What other things are on there?
It's pictures of you. You know what I really object to?
Oh.
Is people who put pictures of the children on Facebook.
No, that's up to them.
Yes, but that's why you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Why?
Because, on the one hand, when we did this story originally about 10 minutes ago, you were defending the fact that identity cards took away your personal freedom. No. And you said because of identity cards, you didn't need that personal freedom. You don't need that. Yet, you're defending personal freedom on the internet. I'm saying on the internet, it's not. It's dangerous. And if the chairman or COE of Microsoft comes out and says the same thing, we need to look at this very seriously. People are going to have to change their names in the future to hide the silly mistakes they made in the past and bragged about. You know, so you're employing somebody, you want to employ somebody, so you go on their Facebook page and you see them absolutely rat-ass drunk at a party somewhere with the biffers out. And things like, yeah, I'll employ them.
Right, on that happy note, we've got to go, boys and girls. That was Postcard from Pop Brad. Lee will be whinging for another week. Don't worry, we'll start off with it next week. Take care of yourselves. Be good. Bye-bye. Have a great week.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.